I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force. No
Yo. And welcome back to the Fake Sports Podcast, the realest and blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the South, going down, audio shop talk in your ear hole, brought to you by your homeboy, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network. www.freedomtrainradio.com. So for the month of May, right here on the Freedom Train Network, for the month of May, we decided to turn May into Black Women's Celebration Month, right? So we, us's and we's, right here at the Freedom Train, we celebrating Black women's all month long. So what we need y'all to do is make sure y'all check out our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. You'll see a tab that says Black Women's Celebration 2018. Click on that tab, and you're going to see a number of women under that tab that we are celebrating. I need you to click on every profile of every woman that we're celebrating and learn about her and support her, because that's what we do down here for Black Women's Celebration Month. Matter of fact, man in a little shirt crowd, get on y'all feet. Y'all give a round of applause just for Black women, just because. Just because. It's Black Women's Celebration Month. All right. So all month long, make sure you check out Freedom Train Network. Check out all of our shows. And that way you get a full understanding of why we say we serious. Right, and just give you a recap on our lineup, because our weekly lineup has been tweaked a bit. So every Monday, of course, you know you're going to get this show, just like you're getting right here today, getting the Fix Sports Podcast, the realest and the blackest sports podcast hosted by your homeboy, Joseph Ward. New podcast alert every Tuesday. My homeboy, Donnell Durden, is giving y'all the Block and Nickel Podcast, Financial Literacy, right? We talking about economics, generational wealth creation, all those things, stocks, bonds, investing, using your money to make money, all that. Block and Nickel Podcast hosted by Mr. Donnell Durden every Tuesday, so make sure you tune in for that. You know, every Wednesday you get the Freedom Train Podcast series hosted by myself and Patrick Irvin. And you also get the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. You know, it'll be streaming live from my Freedom Train our Freedom Train website on the Office Hours tab, so www.freedomtrainradio.com. Every Thursday, you get the Lessons from the Screen podcast hosted by Patrick Irvin, where he goes in and breaks down documentaries, movies, TV shows, documents, all that stuff. Patrick Irvin and Lessons from the Screen. Every Friday, you get the podcast of Office Hours by Professor Carl Tone Jones and Eric Tolbert, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Every Saturday, you get the Tea Time Black Women Talk podcast, as well as you get the On the Shoulders of Giants podcast. And now, remember, all of our podcasts are available on our website, as you hear me saying, www.freedomtrainradio.com. And all of our podcasts are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and more platforms to come. So make sure y'all check us out, man. You know, Freedom Train Network. We all we got. Nah, I'm just playing. The Freedom Train Network. Media designed to free your mind. Suck it now. It's about to go down. It's time to break it down. Yeah, thank you. All right, so let me give you a rundown of what we're talking about today. So HBCU Spotlight is going to be aimed at Grambling State's Hylia Adams. She was invited to the U.S. National Women's Soccer Under-19 training camp, so she might be on the team. And then Virginia State's, I don't know how I missed this last week, but Virginia State's Trenton Cannon was selected by the New York Jets in the sixth round, so we're going to talk about that. Like I said, we're celebrating black women, so going in history a little bit and telling you about Mamie Peanut Johnson, who was a lady who was a pitcher in the Negro League. So we're going to talk about her. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs like we're supposed to. We're going to talk about the WNBA draft, which just happened, which they didn't really publicize, but I'm going to tell you about it because I found out about it. So the WNBA draft just happened. Give you all the results of the three rounds. San Antonio Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammond interviewed for the Milwaukee Bucks job, so we're going to talk about that. Give you an update. You know, we got to get an update on NHL playoffs because it's almost, you know, we got to stay up on it, right? Then Florida State University's baseball head baseball coach or the manager, Mike Martin, sets an NCAA win record, so we're going to talk about that. Then our weekly rant, Charles Barkley, once again, ended up in our weekly rant. Charles Barkley, he want to punch Draymond Green in the face, but then he want to try to pull it back. So we're going to go off on Charles, so you know how we do. So let's go ahead and jump into it, get into our HBCU spotlight. And at first, like I told you, we're shining our spotlight on Grambling State's Hylia Adams. So let me read this to you. Grambling State University defender Hylia Adams has been invited to attend the United States Women's National Soccer Team Under-19 training camp May 5th through the 12th in San Diego, California. So she out there right now. Go ahead, Hylia. She out there right now. I was so happy, Adams said upon hearing the news about being invited to camp. It felt unreal, and I was in shock. I couldn't believe somebody like me from a small NCAA Division I school such as Grambling State would ever get an opportunity like this. I am beyond excited. You got the opportunity because you live. What you mean, Hylia? Hylia, what you mean? What you mean? You got that because you live. That's why. Adams, who's a native of Pasadena, California, and it's the first ever Southwestern Athletic Conference women's soccer player invited to United States National Training Camp, was instrumental in the Lady Tigers' success during the 2017 season. Grambling State went from one win in 2016 to 11 in 2017 and finished second in the conference and concluded its season as runner-ups in the SWAC tournament. She logged 1,800 minutes on the back line that posted 8 shutouts. She had an excellent season and is one of the most talented defenders in our region in the country. I'm adding in the country. Lady Tigers head coach Justin Wagner said, I'm adding in the country. Joseph Ward said, right? She does so many things for our team, from winning balls in the air to organizing our back line to covering mistakes when we have breakdowns and setting up our offense with distribution from the back. Hylia has amazing pace and enables her to run down scoring chances from opponents to snuff them out before they begin. For a 17-year-old, this fall, to step in and be the centerpiece for our defense and play such a large role and turning it all around, much respect to her. They messed up. They put much, but it's supposed to be much. We're thrilled she's getting this opportunity to go and train with the youth national team, which is comprised of mostly Pac-12 and ACC players, and feel she's very deserving of this honor. We'll be rooting for her success. Training camp will feature the under-18, under-19, and under-20 national team players with roughly 22 to 26 representatives per age group who will compete to make the full roster for the United States national teams. The under-19s will have a number of training camps and tournaments throughout the year. Camps are often scheduled to run concurrent with other youth national training camps to give the players an opportunity to watch them play against older players and learn through those experiences. Hylia, hey, I'm telling you like this though, Hylia. when you go out there, you know you play soccer with a bunch of white girls. If you go out there and the white girls start tripping, man, hey, don't be soft. Don't let them. You're going to have some of the white girls out there who might be racist, who might, I ain't saying this going to happen, but it might happen. Don't let them white girls get to you. Ball out on them. Don't be no punk. Stand up for yourself. And, you know, document everything. Document, 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 document. White women do lie. Document everything. But one time for how I live for being selected to the United States under 19 National Women's Soccer Team, and we already know you're going to hold down that back line. Hey, how I live. We already know you're going to hold down that back line, so go ahead and do your thing because you done made the team. I done told you, you done made the team. All right, in the second half of our HBCU Spotlight, we're talking about Virginia State's Trenton Cannon, who was selected by the New York Jets in the sixth round. So Virginia State's running back Trenton Cannon was selected by the New York Jets with the 204th pick of the sixth round of the 2018 NFL Draft on Saturday at the AT&T Stadium. "I can't believe I'm a New York Jet," said Cannon. "This is what I've worked for and dreamed of since I was a kid. I've been working hard to get to this moment. I want to thank Virginia State University's head football coach, Reggie Barlow, and the coaching staff for giving me the opportunity to shine on the field and believing in me. Trojan Nation, I want to thank you for all the love and support. It's my turn. Thank you so much to everyone who believed in me and helped me get today and get to today. But the work has just begun. New York, let's go." This is what he's saying. This is what Cannon is saying. Trenton Cannon has received numerous accolades for his outstanding performance this season. Cannon was selected to play in the 2018 National Football League Players Association Collegiate Bowl that took place on January 20th. I was in Daytona that day. Cannon led the Trojans to an undefeated regular season, piling up 245 all-purpose yards per game. In addition, he was named the CIAA Offensive Player of the Year and was the second consecutive Virginia State University player to take home the Lanier Award. The Lanier Award is given to the best small college player. Trenton received the Offensive Back of the Year Award honor by the Touchdown Club of Richmond. Cannon led the CIAA in overall rushing yards this season with 1,387 yards with an average of 154.1 yards a game. He also produced 14 touchdowns on the season. Out of the 10-week regular season, the Hampton, Virginia native earned 5 Offensive Back of the Week honors. Trenton is currently VSU's all-time rusher with a total of 3,780 yards. For his college career, he played in 38 games, 25 starts, rushed for 4,246 yards, 7.1 yards per carry, 46 touchdowns, caught 51 passes, 638 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns with an average of 32.6 yards per kickoff return with 3 touchdowns in the last 2 seasons on kickoff return. Cannon turned a 4.440 time at the pro day. And so he's the second player taken from Virginia State. The first was defensive back Jim Williams in the seventh round of 1970 draft. So one time for High Lil, one time for Trent Cannon. And so, you know, we like to show some love. So little man in the shirt, audience, get on y'all feet. Show some love to High Lil for Trenton. Hialeah and Trenton, Trenton and Hialeah, Hialeah and Trenton, Hialeah and Trenton. Remember these names, Hialeah Adams and Trenton Cannon. Hialeah Adams and Trenton Cannon. Hialeah Adams and Trenton Cannon. That, my friends, is my HBCU spotlight. Oh, hey. So, like I said, it's Black Women's Celebration Month right here on the Freedom Train Network. And y'all thought we weren't going to do it right here on the Fix? Y'all crazy. Your mind is crazy. So, we're looking at Mamie Johnson. Or as Avery Johnson would say, Mamie Johnson. So give you some information about Mamet Johnson, and I'm going to give you just a little bit because I want you to go do your research for yourself, but I do want to show some love to Mamet Johnson because it's Black Women's Celebration Month right here on the Freedom Train Network, and I'm going to remind y'all that. So, Mamet Peanut Johnson, she bats right, throws right, she's 5'4", 120 pounds. She went to school at New York University as well as North Carolina A&T University, so part of my HBCU spotlight. Not really, but yeah. She was born September 27, 1935 in Ridgeway, South Carolina, and she died not too long ago, September 19, 2017. So Mamet Johnson was the second woman and the first female pitcher to play in the Negro League. Only one other woman would join the circuit after her, and she was the last survivor of the three. She was signed by the Indianapolis Clowns in 1953, played with the team from 1953 to 1955, and had a 33-8 win-loss record. She also batted .276. However, the Negro League were on their last legs at the time, and the quality of play was badly diminished from the circuit's peak. Remember, most of the talent from the Negro Leagues was getting taken into the Major League Baseball, right? She had previously wanted to play in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, but was rejected as the league applied the color barrier, just like Major League Baseball had done until 1947. So, you know, Black women couldn't play professional baseball with white women. And white. So there you go. That shots fired at that feminist stuff that white women always talk about. Because white women are just as racist to Black women and are just as racist to Black women as white men are to everybody. Right? She earned the nickname Peanut while pitching her first game with the Clowns. Opposing batter Hank Bales yelled at her, "What makes you think you can strike a batter out? Why aren't you any larger than the Peanut?" She struck him out, and she was known as Peanut from then on. After her baseball career ended, she was a nurse for 30 years. She also coached youth baseball. When she retired from nursing, she was a manager of the Negro League's memorabilia shop. She was also a guest lecturer at the Library of Congress Symposium in October of 1929. So, yeah, man, Mamet Peanut Johnson, man. I want to do that, like I said, just a little bit of information on her. Make sure you go look up Mamet Peanut Johnson. I was scrolling through social media, and I seen something about her when she died. And so I was kind of sitting on that. That's something I've been wanting to talk about, but I was kind of sitting on that for a while. But I just thought Black Women Appreciation Month was Black Women Celebration Month, rather, would be a great time to pull that story out right here on the Fix so y'all can learn about Mamet Peanut Johnson. So go do your research, Mamet Peanut Johnson, the first female pitcher up in Negro Leagues. And Major League Baseball can kiss my booty because, you know, they ain't never done that for Black people. So that's Mamet Peanut Johnson. I want to say Mamet Peanut Johnson. Y'all give a round of applause to Mamet Peanut Johnson. Mamet, I said Mamet Peanut Johnson. I said Mamet. So, that's Mamet Peanut Johnson. All right, man. Let's talk some basketball. These basketball playoffs are not going exactly how I expected. So let's start with the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Boston Celtics. And I have to admit that I was completely wrong about what was going to happen in this series. If you recall the last show, I said that the Boston Celtics probably wouldn't win this series. They would win a couple games, but wouldn't win this series because the injuries played a factor. I discounted the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics. I discounted the tenacity of the Boston Celtics. I discounted the phenomenal coaching job that Brad Stevens is doing with the Boston Celtics. I discounted the Boston Celtics because the Boston Celtics are up on the Philadelphia 76ers 3-0 in the Eastern Conference divisional round of the playoffs. Now, I'm going to say that again. The Boston Celtics, who do not have Kyrie Irving or Gordon Hayward, is one win away from returning to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals for, I think, like the third year in a row. At least we know the second year in a row, right? But the Boston Celtics are up 3-0 in the divisional round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Game 3 last night I watched, and the Philadelphia 76ers looked like they got gassed, like they were gassed out as the game went. The game actually went to overtime. Bellinelli hit, it was 1.5 seconds left on the clock because they were trying to run some kind of play between J.J. The 76ers were trying to run some kind of play between J.J. Redick and Ben Simmons toward the end, like, let's say, you know, like the final 9 seconds or 10 seconds of the fourth quarter, and the game was tied. No, I'm sorry. The Celtics was down one. No. The game was tied, I think. So, the ball was inbound. J.J. Redick had the ball, and he was trying to get the ball back to Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons didn't see the ball coming, so J.J. Redick kind of threw the ball away. And who was Rozier, got the ball. He got the steal, you know, on the fast break, two 76ers challenging him. He draws the defenders toward him. Then he gets Jaylen Brown, gets Brown the ball, and when Brown has the ball, he scores, and bam, the Celtics are up by one, right? So then Marco Bellinelli, with 1.5 seconds left on the clock, hits a two-pointer. Yeah, that's right. So the Celtics went up by two. So Bellinelli hits a two-pointer in the corner to tie the game. And, they went to overtime. And it was a hard-fought game on both ends, but the Boston Celtics just have it. Brad Stevens is a monster with these inbound plays out of the timeout. Brad Stevens was able to, especially in overtime, this beautiful play where he had his other Celtics player draw Embiid away from the basket. So Embiid is out past the three-point line, and you have it looked like J.J. Redick, but you had like a smaller guard on Al Horford. He was on guarding Al Horford under the basket. The ball is inbound to Al Horford. Bam. Al Horford gets the shot, scores. The Celtics win. I mean, Boston put it down. Brad Stevens is a monster, man. When it comes to coaching, Brad Stevens is a monster. I'm talking about a monster when it comes to coaching, man. And so I will say the 76ers were out-coached. What keeps the 76ers in the game is the talent that they have, but they're young. And, you know me, I said I would make Ben Simmons shoot the ball. Embiid, man, you just got to try to tire him out. You know, Embiid not in the best shape, so you got to try to tire Embiid out. Embiid is a monster. But Embiid overall offensive game is better than Ben Simmons right now. Ben Simmons can't shoot the ball. So Ben Simmons have to get to the rack. Two things you can't let Ben Simmons do. get other players involved, and get to the rack. So you got to find a way to defend. And that's, the Celtics are doing a pretty good job of defending Ben Simmons to where he's not necessarily taking over the game. But the Celtics are also, they also have their rookie, Jason Tatum, who don't give a damn about what Ben Simmons is talking about, what Ben Simmons is doing. And Jason Tatum is taking it to the 76ers. Al Horford is taking it to him. Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, these boys are balling. So let me give you some stats, right? Jason Tatum had 24 points. Al Horford had 13. Aaron Baines had 7. Marcus Smart had 9. Terry Rozier had 18. Jaylen Brown had 16. Marcus Morris had 9. Shane Larkin had 2. Ogiele had 3. But Marcus Smart had them filed out the game, so it was a question. I think Ryan Rucco, I think Doris Burke and Ryan Rucco were calling the game, and Rucco asked the question when Marcus Smart filed out, because you had Baines had 5 fouls, Marcus Smart had just filed out. So this is on top of, you know, Jaylen Brown with the tweak hamstring, and then Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward just being completely out. So the question was asked, do you think that the Celtics have lost too much to be able to sustain and go on to a 3-0 win? Doris Burke, if I'm correct, that was Doris. She was like, nah, man, Celtics just got it. Celtics got that it factor. And sure enough, the Celtics got that it factor. And the 76ers just couldn't do it. They couldn't stick with them. And so the final score was 101-98, right? 3-point game. So let me give you the 76ers. So Robert Covington, who was a part of our HBC Spotlight once, at 1 point. Dario Saric had 11. Embiid had 22. Redick had 18. Simmons had 16. Bellinelli had 12. Ilyasova had 14. So they had 6 players in double figures, the 76ers did, but they still couldn't get over the hump. It's like as the game went on, the Celtics were just had it. As the game went on, it felt like, or it was looking like the 76ers were tired. They just couldn't hang in there with the Celtics. The 76ers may get one win. They may get one win, but this series is over. Much like the Cleveland-Toronto series, which I'll get to later. But this series is over. The Celtics are going to the conference finals. 76ers are not going to a conference finals. And it's interesting because most people had the 76ers. A lot of people, I ain't going to say most, but a good number of people had the 76ers beating Cleveland and going to the NBA finals to represent the East. Seems like the 76ers won't make it out of the divisional round. You feel me? The 76ers have ran into a well-coached machine who is the Boston Celtics with players. I'm telling you, man, the Boston Celtics, all they need is a star or two. The Boston Celtics get a star or two, they're going to be hell. Team of the future. Team of the future. I'm telling you, man, team of the future. So that's the Boston. That's what happened to the Boston Celtics and the 76ers. The Boston Celtics, as I said, they're up 3-0, 3-0 on the 76ers. So let's talk about this Houston Rocket Utah Jazz series. Donovan Mitchell is a baller. I understand why Ben Simmons might eventually win Rookie of the Year. But Donovan Mitchell is a straight baller. He's the leading scorer of the Utah Jazz. He's the leader of that team. And the Utah Jazz are not afraid of the Houston Rockets, even though the Houston Rockets are a better team. The Utah Jazz are not afraid of the Houston Rockets. And, man, it was like game two, Donovan Mitchell was driving the lane. He shot the ball. The ball went off the top of the rim, the front of the rim, matter of fact. Donovan Mitchell saw it over everybody. One hand, boom, that bit back in everybody's face. Skabam, a hook, bam, all in his face. So game one, the Jazz lost to the Houston Rockets 96-110. Game two, Jazz came back and won 116-108. Game three, Houston came back to win 113-92. So let's recap game three. And this series is 2-1, by the way. The Rockets up 2-1, if you didn't get what I just said. So, and in game three, the Rockets actually outscored the Jazz 70-40 in the first half. So that's not good. That's not good. But so the Houston Rockets, game three, and they play again Sunday the 6th. So that game three will be played. So next time you hear from me, I have even more updates on the series, whether the series is still going and the series is over, right? So Trevor Ariza for the Rockets had 11 points, and I'm reading you Houston Rockets points. P.J. Tucker had 9. Clint Capella had 11. James Harden had 25. Chris Paul had 15. Eric Gordon had 25. Luke Mbamabute, I messed that boy's name up. Mbamabute had 2. Gerald Green had 3. Joe Johnson had 2. I keep forgetting Joe Johnson on that team. But that was the Houston Rockets, the Utah Jazz. Joe Ingles had 6. Derek Favors had 2. Rudy Gobert had 12. Royce O'Neal had 17. Donovan Mitchell had 10. And Jay Crowder had 7. Dante Exum had 6. Alec Burks had 14. Raul Nito had 8. Joannis Jerebeko had 6. So they only had the Jazz only had 3 players and 4 players in double figures, while the Rockets had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in double figures. But like I said, when you get outscored 70-40 in the first half, that's hard to come back from. It's hard to come back from. So it's a learning experience for the Utah Jazz. I don't expect the Utah Jazz to win this series. I didn't expect the Utah Jazz to win game two. So the Jazz could very well come back and get 1 or 2 more wins. Maybe 1. Most likely 1. The Rockets are a better team than them. The Jazz really don't have too much that can stop the Rockets for right now, especially when your best player is a rookie. The Jazz are a couple players away, man. I will say this. They are a couple players away from being a nuisance to the rest of the Western Conference. They are. They're not a garbage team, and I was looking at ESPN earlier, and their head coach is a candidate for the coach of the year. So NBA playoffs, man, they're going down. This is where the realest is being separated from the fake, and Donovan Mitchell is turning out to be one of the realest. waiting on that Rockets collapse, though, that collapse that the Rockets have. Usually have every year. And it may not come in this series. It may come against Golden State when they play Golden State, because they're going to end up playing Golden State. But that Rockets collapse, that's what we're waiting to see. That's really what we're waiting to see. If the Houston Rockets can sustain and get to the actual NBA Finals. I don't think so. I think Golden State, especially with Steph Curry coming back. Steph Curry is back. So speaking of Golden State, like I said, the Warriors are up on the Pelicans 2-1, and the Warriors are a better team than the Pelicans, but the Pelicans ain't garbage, right? Pelicans are not garbage at all. And it seems as if you got two schools of thoughts with this particular matchup, especially with the Pelicans coming off of sweeping the Trailblazers, right? So the Pelicans swept the Trailblazers in four. So a lot of people thought that the Pelicans would win the series against the Warriors. Not me. I thought they could be competitive, but I didn't think they would win. I would say the Pelicans could get a victory or two, maybe, same like last series, maybe one more victory. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't. I think Golden State got these boys' numbers. I do. I think Golden State got these boys' number, and it is what it is. It is what it is, and Golden State could come back out, and I think they're gonna come out the series maybe a loss or two to the Pelicans. Now, the Pelicans won Game 3 at home, and they play again, you know, Sunday May 6th, again at home. Now, series is 2-1. Now, the series could take a turn for the best for the Pelicans if they could manage to win Game 4 at home. So they won Game 3 at home, 119-100. They beat the Warriors by 19 points. Right? And so, can that happen again? So, because it's going, like, they're going to have to do that to win this series. If the Pelicans are going to win this series, the Pelicans are going to have to beat the shit out of the Warriors every game. The Warriors have a lot over there that they got going on over there, man, with the starters and the bench. The Warriors live, man. The Warriors are live. Even though we still side-eyeing Kevin Durant for going over there and not being real, but the Warriors are live, man. So we got to show respect to that. All right, so Game 3, give you the box score, because Anthony Davis had 33-18 Game 3, right? So he's going to have to continue to do that this whole playoffs. So Kevin Durant had 22, Draymond had 11, JaVale McGee had 2, Klay Thompson had 26, Steph Curry had 19, Kevon Looney had 6, Iguodala had 4, Livingston had 2. I can tell you why they lost this game. I can tell you why the Warriors lost this game. Their bench didn't come to play. I mean, they benched, and when your bench don't come to play against a team like the Pelicans, who got heart, who believe in themselves, you ain't gonna win, right? So, for the Pelicans, Etwan Moore had 13, Nikola Mirotic had 16. Like I said, Anthony Davis had 33, Jrue Holiday had 21, Rajon Rondo had 4, Solomon Hill had 9. Darius Miller had 5, and Ian Clark had 18. So they had 5 people in double figures, right? Now, I will say this. If Steph Curry is checking Jrue Holiday going to keep having good games, because we know Steph Curry, defense ain't his thing. We know that. Defense ain't Steph Curry's forte. Now, if Klay Thompson is checking Jrue Holiday, then that's a better matchup. But then that means Steph may have to check Rondo, and Steph ain't going to stop Rondo from conducting that offense, even though Rondo not going to look to give you no points like that. Because Rondo had a total of 10 rebounds and like 17 assists or something like that Rondo had. So Rondo out there doing his thing. Don't get it twisted now, right? He had 10 assists. No, he had 10 rebounds and 21 assists, right? So you're allowing Rondo to do his thing to create opportunities for everybody else. So when that's happening, that's good as well. So, and remember, they're doing this with Boogie Cousins being hurt. So imagine if they had Jrue Holiday, Boogie Cousins, and Anthony Davis out there. Both. It'll be serious. So the Warriors and the Pelicans play Sunday. And the Rockets and the Jazz play Sunday. So, like I said, the next time you hear from me, I'll be giving you further updates on the series and the outcomes of Game 4 and beyond. So, all right, so the last part of the NBA playoffs, and you know, we got to say LeBron for last. Because, like I said, the Cleveland Cavaliers are up 3-0 on the Toronto Raptors, and the Raptors just don't have it. This series is over. If they don't get swept, I'd be surprised, but this series is over. Last night, LeBron hit the game winner off the glass, which was so pretty. The Raptors just don't have it, man. They ain't got the juice. They don't have the juice. And I don't know what's going to help to get them the juice, but they just don't have the juice. And they have nothing to stop LeBron. DeMar DeRozan had 8 points. DeMar DeRozan had 8 points in this playoff game. In a game three, a pivotal playoff game, which determines whether your season going down the toilet or not, because Toronto's season is over. Maybe they can squeak out a victory on Monday and extend everything to Wednesday. But I guarantee you, by the time I come back to record and put out this next episode of The Fix, this series will be up. Anobi had 18. Valanciunas had 10. Van Fleet had 8. Kyle Lowry had 27. CJ Miles had 13. Ibaka had 11. Siakam, whatever his name, Pascal Siakam had 3. So y'all just let Kyle Lowry out there by himself. One time for Anobi and Valanciunas and CJ Miles. But goddamn, DeMar, 8 points. And Van Fleet is a pretty good point guard, but nah, he ain't gonna stop nothing out there. Van Fleet, I like Van Fleet, but he ain't gonna stop nothing out there with Cleveland. So J.R. Smith didn't score, but LeBron had 38. Kevin Love had 21. Kyle Korver had 18. George Hill had 12. Jeff Green had 11. Jordan Clarkson had 5. I mean, shit. You tell me. Y'all tell me, man, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in double figures. Five players in double figures the Cleveland Cavaliers did, led by the 38 of LeBron James and the 37th to 38th point coming in at the end of the game in the regulation, shot off the backboard, the run off the backboard with that dude. I don't even know if that dude really thought he was challenging LeBron's shot. LeBron is in his 15th year, and he's on a totally another level than we've ever seen in the NBA. LeBron live. LeBron is live, and the Cleveland Cavaliers look like they will be going back to the NBA Finals, because I don't know. I think the Boston Celtics will give them a challenge, but they won't be able to beat LeBron now. But Greg Lee, man, look. All I'm saying is these NBA Finals are interesting, and the plot twists are amazing. I knew Toronto was about that bullshit, because they got a history like the Houston Rockets, no choking. So we knew Toronto didn't have no nuts. But damn, Toronto. Y'all got to give us one victory before the series is over. Y'all got to give us one victory before the series is over. Because right now y'all playing with no nuts. Y'all the no-nut dinosaurs. Led by DeMar DeRozan. The dinosaurs with no nuts. Y'all ain't talking about nothing, man. One time for the Boston Celtics, though. Like, the Boston Celtics, man. I can't wait to see the Celtics and the Cavs. Like, I can't wait to see that Celtics and the Cavs NBA Eastern Conference Finals. And I can't wait to see the Rockets and the Warriors in the Western Conference. I'm just ready for the conference finals. Let's get these divisional rounds over with, because the 76ers didn't come to play. Joel Embiid come to play with everybody else. The 76ers just don't have it, man. They just don't have it. Mistakes. J.J. Redick out there making mistakes like he a rookie. They just don't have it, man. And this is not what I was expecting. I was expecting this. I was actually expecting the 76ers to probably be up 3-0 at this point, but they're not. They're down 3-0. No teams don't come back from 3-0 to win series. That just don't happen. So, yeah, man, I think this one over, man. I think these series are over. And we just really waiting on these last final games to happen so we can move on to these conference finals. So, hey, so Toronto and Philly, hey, man, we'll see y'all later. See y'all next year. Now, in the West, it's a little different. I will say it's a little different in the West. We're gonna let's see, but I do expect the Warriors and the Rockets to meet in those Western Conference Finals, and the Warriors show everybody that the Rockets ain't shit compared to them. Because I don't believe that the Houston Rockets have what it takes to get to the NBA Finals to beat the Golden State Warriors. I don't believe James Harden is gonna really lead that team. I don't believe Mike D'Antoni is that coach. Because I hear people talking about, you know, and they try to diminish the coaching in the NBA. Coaching and strategy, hey, man, coaching and strategy matters. I don't give a shit what nobody's saying. Coaching and strategy matters. LeBron James would never win no championship without a coach who is good. I don't care what you say. Strategy has to be in place. Right? So, coaching and strategy does play a part in making sure that teams get to the next level. So I'm waiting to see these conference finals, man. Waiting to see these conference finals. And then, you know, so next time we meet, we're going to talk more about it. The NBA Finals. We all we got. All right. So apparently they snuck in the WNBA draft on us. They snuck that in. I ain't need nobody. Because, you know, if I'd have nobody, I'd have been talking. I'd have been getting everybody ready for the WNBA draft. But guess what? Guess what? You know I got the information. You know I got the information. So let's let the games begin. So the first pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Las Vegas Aces, and that must be a new team. Las Vegas Aces got to be a new team. Got to be a new team. All right, so the Las Vegas Aces select Asia Wilson, center from South Carolina. And that's rightfully owed to her, because Asia was definitely the best player in women's college basketball. Asia Wilson was definitely so. Asia Wilson, the center out of South Carolina. She gets drafted by the Las Vegas Aces, and Asia was a national champion last year. They beat South Carolina. I mean, they beat Mississippi State in the championship game last year. So Asia Wilson, one time for you being the first draft pick of the 2018 draft going to the Las Vegas Aces. That's the new team. So the second pick of the WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Kelsey Mitchell, guard from Ohio State. The third pick of the WNBA draft, the Chicago Sky, with the third pick via the Dream, the hell is the Dream? I mean, get my teams together. So I'm messing up. Dream. Oh, the Atlanta Dream. Excuse me. Okay. All right. So the Atlanta Dream traded out of their third pick, and they traded out the whole first round. The Atlanta Dream traded out the whole first round. They messed me up. So So with third pick in the draft, the Chicago Sky via the Atlanta Dream select Diamond DeShields, a guard from Tennessee. The fourth pick in the draft, the Chicago Sky in their original position, so they got the third and the fourth pick, they get Gabby Williams, a forward from Connecticut. And Gabby Williams is live. So that's two good pickups for Chicago Sky. The fifth pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Seattle Storm select Jordan Canada, guard from UCLA. The sixth pick in the draft, the Dallas Wings select Azura Stevens, forward from Connecticut. Now, you know them UConn girls going, though. You know that. You know UConn, Mississippi State, Ohio, South Carolina, they going. They going. So with the seventh pick of the draft, the Washington Mystics select Ariel Atkins, guard from Texas. The eighth pick in the draft, the Indiana Fever, via a pick that was given on the trade from the Phoenix Mercury, they pick up Victoria Vivens, guard from Mississippi State. And, hey, just a man in me, I ain't going to lie. Victoria Vivens is kind of fine. She is, I ain't going to lie. So, but we're going to concentrate on her basketball today. So with the ninth pick in the draft, the Connecticut Sun select Lexi Brown, guard from Duke. With the 10th pick in the WNBA draft, 2018 WNBA draft, the New York Liberty select Kia Nurse, guard from Connecticut. So that's three players from UConn have went in the first round, one from South Carolina, one from Mississippi State. All right, so the Los Angeles, with the 11th pick in the first round of 2018 WNBA draft, the Los Angeles Sparks select Maria Vadiva, a center from Russia. So they go on, so the Los Angeles Sparks decide to go international. So with the 12th and final pick of the first round of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Phoenix Mercury with a pick via trade from the Minnesota Lynx. The Phoenix Mercury select Marie Gillich, center from Oregon State. All right, second round. So second round of 2018 WNBA draft, with the 13th pick, the Las Vegas Aces select Jamie Nerit, a forward from Tennessee. The 14th pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Stephanie Mavunga, forward from Ohio State. With the 15th pick of the WNBA draft via the Connecticut Sun, the Atlanta Dream select Monique Billings, forward from UCLA. With the 16th pick of the WNBA draft, 2018 WNBA draft, the Atlanta Dream is picking once again with the trade via the Chicago Sky. They select Christy Wallace, guard from Baylor. She a baller, too. All right, my team, my squad, 17th pick. We finally get this pick. The Minnesota Lynx with the 17th pick via the Seattle Storm. They select Juicy Park, a center from South Korea. So the Minnesota Lynx, they added some height. So number 18 pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Lauren Goodwin, guard from Oklahoma State. The 19th pick of the WNBA draft, 2018 WNBA draft, the Washington Mystics select Maisha Haynes Allen, forward from Louisville. With the 20th pick of the WNBA draft, the Phoenix Mercury select Tyler Scaife, a guard from Rutgers. And with the 21st pick going once again, Phoenix Mercury select via trade from the Chicago Sun, Raisha Musina, a forward from Russia. So Russia got a couple people getting picked. Look at them. So with the 22nd pick of the WNBA draft, 2018 WNBA draft, the New York Liberty select Mercedes Russell, center from Tennessee. The 23rd pick of 2018 WNBA draft, the Los Angeles Sparks select Shaquayla Thomas, forward from Florida State. Shaquayla! From Florida State. With the 24th pick of the WNBA draft, the Minnesota Lynx select Kyla Lawrence, guard from Mercer. So that was the last pick of the second round. So the third and final round of the 2018 WNBA draft, the 25th pick, the Las Vegas Aces select Regine. I think it's Regine, R-A-I-G-Y-N-E, Regine Lewis, guard from LSU. I think I might have messed her name up, but hey, wow. Wow. Hell of a name. R-A-I-G-Y-N-E, Regine Lewis, I think. Okay. So the 22nd pick, a WNBA draft, the Phoenix Mercury. The Phoenix Mercury with the pick via the Indiana Fever. Get Imani Wright. Imani! Guard from Florida State. The Atlanta Dream with the 27th pick of the 2018 WNBA draft select Mackenzie Ingram, a forward from Georgia. The 2018 WNBA draft, Chicago Sky select Amara Coleman, guard from DePaul. The 29th pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Seattle Storm select Tina Muldrow, forward from West Virginia. The 30th pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Natalie Butler, center from George Mason. The 31st pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Washington Mystics select Rebecca Greenwell, guard from Duke. With the 32nd pick of the WNBA draft, the Las Vegas Aces via pick from the Phoenix Mercury select Jill Barta, forward from Gonzaga. The 33rd pick of the WNBA draft, 2018 WNBA draft, the Chicago Suns select Michaela Cowling, forward from California. 34th pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the New York Liberty select Leslie Robinson, forward from Princeton. She's smart. With the 35th pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Los Angeles Sparks select Julia, center from the Czech Republic. And the last pick, the 32nd pick of the 2018 WNBA draft, the Minnesota Lynx select Carly Wagner, a guard from Minnesota. And I want to give a shout out to all of the women who were selected in WNBA draft, but especially my babe, my homegirl, she AKA two, Asia Prime. Asia Wilson. I messed the name up. All Asia Wilson. Throw that pinky up. Throw that AKA pink up. Pinky up. First pick of the WNBA draft going to the Las Vegas Aces. Their first ever draft pick. Las Vegas Aces, draft Asia Wilson. And the WNBA season is about to start. It's about to start. So y'all stick around, because you already know I'm finna be talking about the WNBA upcoming season. And moving on. Further basketball news. San Antonio Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon is interviewing for the head coaching job of the Milwaukee Bucks. And if she gets the job, she will be the first woman ever to be a head coach in WNBA. As far as I know, she's the first woman ever to be an assistant coach in WNBA. So let's read it. The Milwaukee Bucks plan to interview San Antonio Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon for the franchise's head coaching vacancy, league sources told ESPN on Friday. Hammon is the NBA's first female assistant coach and will now be the first woman to interview for a head coaching job in the league. Right? So Hammon isn't considered a frontline candidate on a Bucks list that includes at least 10 possible candidates. But Milwaukee ownership and general manager John Horst were intrigued enough to ask the Spurs for permission to speak with Hammon, right? The Bucks met with Hammon in 2017 about the team GM vacancy, despite the fact that she had no front office experience. The Bucks will meet with Spurs assistant Ettore Messina on Saturday and former Charlotte coach Steve Clifford and former New Orleans coach Monty Williams next week. Lead sources said former Atlanta coach Mike Budenholzer will also meet with the Bucks. Hammond, who is 41, is the fourth Spurs assistant to interview for a head coaching opening this spring. Messina, James Borrego, and Ime Udoka have interviewed for several openings. Borrego will interview for the Milwaukee job next week, league sources say. Hammond coached the Spurs league summer team to a Las Vegas Summer League championship in 2015. She was a six-time All-Star in her 16-year WNBA playing career, retiring in 2014 to accept the San Antonio Spurs assistant coaching job under Spurs head coach Greg Popovich. That's not too much information on her and this, but Becky, you know, congratulations to you for getting the opportunity to interview for the job. Hey, man, if you get it, I wish you much success. Becky Hammond is a pretty good basketball mind. She's a good basketball mind, and, wish her much success. Look like the Milwaukee Bucks got a lot of interest in her, so wish Becky Hammond much success. When we get more information, we're gonna let you know, but, you know, she's a good coach. She's a good basketball mind. And let's rock with it. Rise me tonight for old time's sake. All right, so it's time to talk some hockey again. Let's talk about these NHL playoffs. And I wonder who's beating you. So let's start with the Las Vegas Golden Knights versus the San Antonio Sharks, because that's where we are basically. We're in the same place we are in the NBA playoffs. That's where we is in the NHL playoffs in the divisional round before the conference finals. So in the East, we got Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Boston Bruins. Then we got Washington Capitals versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. Then we got the San Jose Sharks versus the Las Vegas Knights. Then we got the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Memphis Predators. And one time for P.K. Subban, the black man who lead the defensive line for the Memphis Predators. Nashville, they're Tennessee, though, Nashville Predators. So we're going to start with the Golden Knights versus the Sharks. So the Golden Knights have a 3-2 lead in this series. Who would ever think that this expansion team is a win away from the conference finals? I'm going to just say that. So the Golden Knights, they won game one, 7-0. San Jose came back and tied the series 4-3 in a double overtime win in game two. And then the Golden Knights came back to win 4-3 in the overtime win against the Sharks. And then the Sharks beat the Knights 4-0 to tie the series 2-2 in game four. So game five, that happened on Friday, and the Knights won 5-3 to take the 3-2 lead against the Knights. And once again, the game is on Sunday, so you know this is Monday. When you listen, this is Monday, so the game happened yesterday. So, and we're recording before this. So next time you hear from me, you're gonna get an update on who won games. Game six and game seven is necessary in this series, but keep an eye on it. It's very, 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 very intriguing because, like I say, the Knights, they're in their first season. They're in the first season as a expansion team in the NHL. So one time for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Then we got the Winnipeg Jets versus the Nashville Predators. And the Jets have a 3-2 lead over the Predators. One time for P.K. Subban. black man to play defensive line on the defensive end for the Nashville Predators. So the Jets, Winnipeg Jets won. I said the Maple Leafs. They ain't no Toronto. This is the Winnipeg Jets earlier. I'm messing up. But the Winnipeg Jets, they won game one 4-1 against the Predators. And then Nashville came back and tied the series up with a 5-4 double overtime victory in game two. Then the Jets beat their ass 4-7, 7-4 in game three to take the 2-1 lead. Then Nashville came back to beat the Jets 2-1 in game four to tie the series at 2-2. So the Jets came back game five to beat Nashville 6-2 to take the 3-2 lead. Now, it's going back and forth, so it seems like the away team is winning all the games. So game six for this series is Monday, and Nashville will be the away team. If you keep going like this, then the Winnipeg Jets is going to win because they will be the away team in game seven. If you keep going in this pattern, like the away team is constantly winning this game. So, yeah. All right. So let's talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Boston Bruins. And I am a Lightning fan. I am a Lightning fan. Right? So the Lightning have a 3-1 series lead over the Bruins. But this is hockey and anything can happen. So we are at game five. They play game five Sunday at 3. And they're in Tampa, and maybe Tampa Bay can take this and win. So game one, the Boston Bruins won game one 6-2 to take a 1-0 lead. Then Tampa Bay came back, struck their ass, and won 4-2, tied the series at 1-1. Then Tampa Bay came back, win game three 4-1, take 2-1 lead. Then Tampa Bay came back with a 4-3 overtime win to take the 3-1 lead. So the Bruins may take game five. They may, but if not, Tampa Bay going to drop their nuts on them and be sitting back waiting on the winner of the Capitals and the Penguins to get either Ovi or Sidney Crosby. So, of course, you know I got to talk about that series last. So, yeah, Tampa Bay, man. One time for Tampa Bay, one time for Tampa Bay, one time for Tampa Bay. All right, so let's move on. So the Washington Capitals against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Capitals are actually up in the series 3-2. So don't tell me Ovi now gonna put out Sidney. And if you don't know who Ovi is Alex Ovechkin, who is the best player for the Washington Capitals. And Sidney Crosby is the best player for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And so coming into the league, you could say Ovi and Sidney were like Carmelo and LeBron. But I would prefer to you, I like I used last week, I would say the Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook comparison is better. Because Ovi, like Westbrook, all around skill, I mean live. But Crosby, like Curry, wins, accomplished. Now, Ovi looking to be reversing things because, you know, when it comes to Ovi, then we like, man, can they actually really damn pull it out? Like, y'all be there, but y'all can't never really pull it out. So we're going to keep an eye on this series. So Pittsburgh won game. They won game one 3-2 to take the 1-0 lead. And Washington came back and won game two 4-1 to tie that 1-1. Then Washington came back to win game three 4-3 to get the 2-1 lead. Then Pittsburgh came back to win game four with a 3-1 victory to tie the series at 2-2. Then Washington won game five, 6-3, and that gave them the 3-2 lead. So let's look at the pattern. So Pittsburgh won game one, Washington won game two and three, Pittsburgh won game four, and Washington won game five. So shit, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know who's going to win. Game six is Monday. So we're going to see. They played yesterday. Game five was yesterday, and Washington got that 6-3 victory. It was on Saturday. So game six is on Monday. So then the NHL playoffs, though, y'all. NHL playoffs. So y'all, you know, I'm keep y'all abreast on what's going on with NHL playoffs because it's running concurrent with the NBA playoffs. So, yeah. All right. So, over the teeth and through the gums. Look out, stunt. Here it comes. That don't have nothing to do with my next story. I just felt like saying that. So, you know, I'm in Tallahassee. I be a homer a lot. I ain't gonna lie, I be a homer. And Mike Martin, the manager of the Florida State baseball collegiate team, just set the record for wins as an NCAA head coach. So it took 13 innings to make it happen. But 2,688 games and 1,976 wins into his legendary coaching career, Mike Martin stands alone. Florida State baseball coach surpassed the late Augie Garrido with his 1,976 career victory in the number 15 Seminoles. They are 32-14 on the year. And they went extra innings in the 3-2 win against number 9 Clemson. And that game happened Saturday. It was really just a night that I always remember because of the way that our young men battled, Martin said. The record means, hold on, I messed that up. The record means for that a while is going to get, it's going to, let me reread that. The record means that for a while is going to have Florida State's name on it. That's what means so much to me because that's the university that gave me a chance to coach. I'm very fortunate. I love my university. And as I was watching this story yesterday, yeah, Mike Martin is very, very, very appreciative and thankful for being a coach at Florida State. He loved Florida State. It was a special moment. I'm going to read it like it was a special moment, Martin's son and FSU assistant coach Mike Martin Jr. added. Glad for him to have it. He doesn't care about it. Guys on the club wanted to say they were a part of it. FSU blew a 2-0 lead in the late innings and entered a lengthy relief pitching battle between Clemson closer Riley Gilliam and FSU freshman C.K. Van Eek. Stephen Wells Jr. gave the Seminoles what became the winning run with a solo homer to left in the 13th inning in front of a raucous crowd of 5,379 at Clemson's Doug Kingsmore Stadium. I've seen a lot of his wins, and it's awesome to see him hit his milestone and keep going well, said. His passion that he brings out every day is just great to be around. Mike Martin is the winningest coach in the history of college baseball. So let's give a round of applause to Mike Martin for setting his record, 1,976 wins. Mike Martin, the head baseball coach of the Florida State Seminoles baseball team. 1,976 points, which makes him the winningest coach in college baseball history. Shout out to Mike Martin. That's live, though. That's live. What he did, that's live. Longevity and not being garbage. That's what that is. It's time. Time for my weekly rant. And I'm aiming it back at Charles. I said I'm aiming it back at Charles. Barkley. Thank you. here all week. Charles Barkley acting like a little bitch again, as if that's anything. Charles Barkley talking about he want to punch Draymond Green in the face. Charles Barkley said he want to punch Draymond Green in the face. Charles said, I'll punch Draymond in the face. Charles want to punch Draymond Green in the face. He said it, and then Draymond spoke about it, then Charles going to come back and apologize. So let me break it down. So I was looking at something on TV, and it was like Charles Barkley told me he want to punch Draymond Green in the face. So I was like, no. So I looked at what Charles was saying, and Charles was like, I really like to punch Draymond Green in the face, you know, because Draymond this and Draymond that and blah, 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 blah. I want to punch Draymond. Blah, 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 blah. You know, Charles talked with a, he got a mouth full of mashed potatoes. Draymond, blah, blah. So they asked Draymond about it at a press conference. And this is the part that made me want to put Charles in my weekly rant before I found out that Charles tried to backpedal and apologize. So Draymond was like, oh, yeah? Oh, for real? Oh, so Charles want to punch me in my face. Charles want to punch me in my face. Why Charles want to punch me in my face? We don't know why Charles want to punch somebody in the face, but Charles want to punch somebody in the face. Charles want to punch Draymond Green in the face, right? And so with that, Draymond was like, well, shit, I see Charles all the time. Charles got plenty of opportunity to punch me in the face. Charles act different when it's just when he see me, though. He act different. Charles don't be telling me he going to punch me in my face. But behind the desk at TNT Studios, Charles going to tell me he going to punch me in my face. This is Draymond. But when Charles see me, Charles ain't talking rah-rah. But when Charles at that desk, Charles talk rah-rah. And basically Draymond was like, all right, Charles, well, if you want to punch me in my face, you're going to see me again when you see me punch me in my face. Right? That's what Draymond was like. Charles, you see me, cuz. You see me, I be seeing you. If you want these hangs, go ahead and punch me in my face next time you see me, because you see me. You see me. So what it is, right? So what it is. I mean, what you want to do, Charles? What you want to do? You ain't going to do nothing. Then Draymond had that look on his face. He ain't really say it, but he had that look on his face like, man, I beat Charles Barkley, motherfucking ass. I beat Charles old ass. Charles old. Charles is old, and Charles like attention. So then Charles is going to come back and want to apologize. But then this headline that I'm reading is Durant Curry questioned sincerity of Charles Barkley's apology to Draymond Green. So Golden State Warriors had immediate availability in New Orleans on Thursday evening for the first time since Charles Barkley apologized for saying he wanted to punch Draymond Green in the face on Inside NBA. Right? Let me say this, Charles Barkley.
Let me say this. I want to apologize to Draymond Green and his mom. What I said was inappropriate. I would never punch an NBA player. I meant what I said. I meant what I said. I would never punch an NBA player. Draymond Green is a good player. I think he's a nice kid. I wish him nothing but the best. But what I said was inappropriate.
Hey, what, you ain't going to beat nobody's ass either. And so when somebody asked about his apology, Kevin Durant said he didn't buy it. This is Kevin Durant. No, I didn't, Durant said Thursday. He said what he said. He felt that way, but Barkley ain't punching nobody. That's what I said. Like that's what I said. Like Draymond said. This is the – I'm adding mine in, but the article is saying – let me say what the article said first. No, I didn't, Durant said Thursday. He said what he said. He felt that way, but Barkley ain't punching nobody, like Draymond said. I think he would have done that back in the day. And no, he said, I don't think he would have done that back in the day either. I don't know why he's so angry all the time at the new generation of basketball, but I guess that is what it is. Charles Barkley wasn't going to punch nobody from the get, period. Nobody Charles Barkley wasn't going to punch. Charles, you ain't tough. You ain't no gangster. You ain't no street brawler. You ain't no fighter like that, Charles. We done seen you in your NBA scuffles. They still scuffles. You ain't talking about nothing, Charles. You ain't going to beat nobody ass, Charles. You soft. You's a bitch. And you ain't going to whoop nobody ass. You old. You're old. You're old. And you can't fight. Ain't nobody scared of you in your hands. You might got a couple of simps out here. Charles Barkley will do this. And Charles Barkley, ain't nobody scared of no goddamn Charles Barkley. And Charles Barkley, you're in my weekly rant. For one, for talking about you going to punch Draymond for something. Man, you ain't going to punch nobody, you bitch. You ain't going to do shit. Work on that weak-ass golf swing you got. How about that? Work on not kissing so much white ass as you do. Get your lips off of white America's booty cheeks, Charles Barkley. How about that? How about that? This is what Draymond was saying. We rarely see Charles Barkley anyway, Durant continued. He's going to stay in the studio, look at games on TV, and we're going to go out and just play the games that we love. He said he had his time already. This Durant still talking. I'm sure there were plenty of guys back in the day he had opportunity to punch and he didn't. We can move on from that. Curry echoed Durant's sentiments and commented on how his mom would have reacted if he apologized for something, but then said he meant it when he was a kid. Yeah. I would have gotten slapped in the face, Curry said. Draymond handled it amazingly. When it comes to people with microphones on the screen or whatever, can't take that stuff too seriously because most of it is for the show. As for the Warriors head coach and former TNT employee Steve Kerr, Barkley's comments were done in the interest of entertainment. I don't take it very seriously, Steve Kerr said of Barkley's stated desire to punch Green in the face. It's just Charles. Charles Barkley, you ain't going to do shit. I'm Charles Barkley, and I'm king of the bitches. Charles Barkley, you are the international liaison for the National Footballers of America. You go to different countries and you represent the National Footballers of America, Charles Barkley. I'm looking at your picture right now, Charles Barkley. You was a bitch. You was constructed to be a bitch. As big as you are and as strong as you are, white supremacy rules your life. Because you's a bitch. And you wasn't going to whoop nobody's ass. Draymond would have beat your ass. You can't whoop nobody's ass, Charles Barkley. I'm going to keep saying that. Because you's a bitch. And you soft. And only thing you good for right now is running your mouth and making white people feel comfortable around you because you go above and beyond to make white people feel comfortable because you scared of white people. You scared of people dipping in your pockets. You're scared of your public image. You want to be seen as this tough guy, as this ribbity roo rah. I'm Charles Barkley. Don't nobody think you tough, Charles. Yeah, we know you threw somebody through a window back in the day, but don't nobody give a damn about you throwing nobody through no window back in the days. You can't whoop nobody's ass, nah. You think you can. You like to talk about how you can whoop some ass. You can't whoop nobody ass right now. Nobody ass. You good for sitting behind that desk and talking shit. You good for that. Now, some of the shit talking you do, I support, especially if you're talking about Skip Bayless bitch ass. But, Charles, you was a hoe. And Charles, you are the president, you are the liaison of the National Footballers of America. You're the ambassador. You go represent the National Footballers of America. You're one of the original founding members as well, the National Footballers of America. I'm going to say this to you. White people don't like you, Charles Barkley. They don't. So you can stop all that fake rah-rah stuff you be doing up on TNT and stuff like that. We don't even believe you can beat the asses of the people on that you do TNT with, your basketball shit with. Maybe Ernie Johnson. Maybe Ernie. I don't even think Ernie will sit there and let you try to punk him like that. I don't think you can beat Kenny Smith. Damn sure don't think you can beat Shaq ass or nobody else who comes through there. Isaiah Thomas a hoe. But I just don't. Aren't you got bad hips and knees? Then you just have like hip or knee replacement surgery. You still out here trying to be tough? Really? You really out here trying to be tough and you done had to get your knees and your hips replaced. Charles, use a first class bitch ass hoe. You a coochie. And you need to get your lips off the butts of the white supremacists because they do not like your black ass. What the hell is going on between that meat and your dome? Charles don't have no brain. Charles don't have no brain. Charles is an airhead. He's a bitch. And I say this, and I'm going to close this out with this. Fuck you, Charles. Have a good day. And I wish you would run up on Draymond so he can beat your motherfucking ass because you's a straight. I figure you's a hoe, but you can't help it because you don't know. Charles is a hoe, but he can't help it because he don't know. Charles is a hoe, but he can't help it because he don't know. Charles is a hoe, but he can't help it. But we know he a hoe. We know Charles a hoe. We know Charles, we know Charles, we know Charles. Go, ah, ho, ah, ho, ah, ho. H-O-E, Barkley, H-O-E, Barkley, Charles, ho. 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 Oh, 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 Charles, ho. And don't you forget it, because ain't nobody scared of no goddamn Charles Barkley sitting behind them studio walls talking about what the fuck he gonna do to somebody. Use a bitch, Charles Barkley. Fuck you and everything you stand for. How about that? Hey, man, it's the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm your homeboy, Joseph Ward. Man, you know I got to go in. I got to set the record straight. I got to keep it real, because they be out here wilding, man. They be out here tripping. They be out here tripping, and somebody got to keep some kind of sanity going on around here, right? So shout out to, once again, shout out to Hylia Adams and Trenton Cannon, right? Shout out to all of the women who were drafted in the WNBA draft. Shout out to Becky Hammond, right? Shout out to Mike Martin. And shout out to Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant for understanding that Charles Barkley is a whole out here, full coochie bitch, right? Shout out to all that. Hey, man, and it is what it is. Hey, despite what I said about Charles Barkley, remember this is Black Women's Celebration Month 2018 for the Freedom Train Network, and we will be celebrating a different woman every day. So I just want to go back, take you back through and show you the women who we've celebrated so far. So far we've celebrated Miss Janae White, Miss Tiffany Hill, Dr. Huberta Jackson Lohman, Miss Lynn Jones, Miss Tiffany Austin, and today we are celebrating Miss Megan Potts. So make sure you go to our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can celebrate Miss Megan Potts with us and the rest of the ladies who we've celebrated. And with that being said, I am Joseph Ward. This is The Fix. And like always, two fingers in the air. Spit them. Wave them at folk like you just don't care. Peace.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back, looks up. You.
ripped his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever.